Amen. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Colossians, if you would, please. Book of Colossians, chapter number 4, is where we're going to be at tonight. I'm very glad to be here with y'all again. It's been 4 years since we were here, so it's been a long time, and a lot has changed, I'm sure. But God is still good, God is still moving, and we still need to get the gospel to the world. We have prayer cards over on our display in the gym. Please do get one, please do take one. I know the traditional size is the 4x6 postcard size, but I'm a little bit taller, so I got a little bit of a bigger prayer card so that I could fit on there. So please get one, and do pray for us. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about. You know, in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they make several missionary journeys, and at one point it uses the phrase that they, I forget exactly what it says, but they came in and they rehearsed all the things that God had done, right? They go back to the churches that had sent them out, and they tell them basically about what God had done. And normally, I preach a message out of Hebrews on, you know, following God, being obedient to God for churches that we haven't been in, but seeing as that y'all supported us the entire time that we were in Peru, and y'all prayed for us, and y'all communicated with us, I would like to rehearse, go a different direction, just rehearse some of what God did in Peru, and you had a part in that. And I want you to keep in mind as you hear what we're going to be listening to, or as you hear me, that you had a part in this, that you prayed and you gave and you contacted us and you were involved in all of this. And this is, as Paul would say in Philippians, this is fruit that abounds to your account. This is, you had a great big part in this. And so in Colossians chapter 4, Paul says, verse number 3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And so the whole reason we send people to the mission field, the whole reason that we give to missions, and I understand that it's a sacrifice to give to missions. Trust me, I really do. We started deputation in January. We had a big, fat 2.5% of our support, so we were just knocking it out of the park, you know. And it was going great for 2 months, and then we got hit with COVID, and it all stopped, and we had a big, fat 5% of our support, and you can't feed a family on 5%, you know? And so we were kind of like, what do we do? I get that these are not great times. I understand, but it still matters. There's no excuse to not be involved in missions. So why do we give? Why do we pray? Why do we go through hard times? Because there are people who don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's really it. At the end of the day, everything else is a secondary matter. I don't care. I know this is, you know, Kentucky, you guys are Wildcats fans. And trust me, I understand being passionate about sports. It really doesn't matter, guys. I promise, okay? And I would say the same thing if the Georgia Bulldogs were ever going to win a national championship. It really doesn't matter that much. You know, it would matter a little more, but it still wouldn't matter all that much. The only thing that matters is that everybody, we are all going to die, and we are all going to spend eternity in one of two places. And that this church, this generation of Christians, we are responsible for this generation of souls. There's 7 billion-something people walking this earth, and you and I are responsible for every single one of them, right? That is our job. We owe them the debt of doing everything that we can to get the gospel to them. Everything. That's why we're going. Look, there's a lot I love. It's so, once you've lived in a different country, maybe, I don't even know, different states, like, you're forever changed. You ever go through something that just, it forever changes who you are? And like, when you live in a different country and you learn a different language and you learn a different, it kind of changes you. And so, in a really weird way, I'm probably the palest, whitest Latin American guy that you've ever met in your life, you know, but I really do. I was talking to Hannah. I'm like, I just forget last night that Latin American culture, it's okay to make fun of things that are not okay to make fun of people in the States for, because that's, you know, hey, if I'm being a jerk to you, they say, hey, to be teased is to be loved. And I'm just a very loving guy, okay? According to Latin American standards, but to Americans, I'm just a jerk, you know, but I promise I'm a jerk because I care about you. And you are forever changed. And you just, you go and you live and you think, man, there's so much work to do. There are so many people who don't have the gospel. This is a big deal. This is the only thing that matters. I'm not going to the mission field to turn people into North Americans, to turn people into a certain political party, to turn them into fans of a sports team. None of that matters. It's a bunch of junk that distracts us from the church's true mission of getting the gospel to the world. That's why we're here. That is why we're here. And this prayer right here, man, you look, I really think that God is touching some young person's heart tonight to go to the mission field. And if you're wondering if I'm talking about you, I am, okay? God is calling you. I really think God's calling someone to the mission field. God's calling someone to preach. God's calling someone to be more involved today. I don't see how you can hear what we've heard and not feel that way. But this prayer right here, whether God sends you, whether God leads you to reach right here in Winchester, Kentucky, or wherever you're at, this prayer right here, I mean, this works. This is a big deal. This is a big part of missions. And I ask you to pray this for us, for your other missionaries. Pray it for yourselves, because, man, this prayer, we'd finished language school. We'd gone. We'd learned Spanish. And you're always learning a second language, a third language. You never get it all the way, but you're always getting better and learning. But we'd done enough that I could talk and I could preach and yada, 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 yada. And so I'd preached and I'd given an invitation. I'd seen people saved. And I just thought, man, that's great. But I want to win somebody to the Lord, right? That's why I'm here. I'm here to start churches, preach the gospel, train leaders. And we got to see some people saved. And so I started praying this prayer and saying, with all praying that God would open unto us a door of utterance. I said, God, I want to see some people saved. And if you want to see people saved, you know what you have to do? You have to share the gospel, right? You want to see 10 people saved, you got to witness to at least 10, you know? I'll tell you a secret. Every single person I talk to about Christ makes a decision. It's just most of it's no, you know? You got to talk to a lot of people to see a few people saved. And so I said, God, I want to see some people saved. So I need to start sharing the gospel. God, would you give me opportunities to share the gospel? And it was like God really did a work in my heart. And I remember it was right around Christmas. I just remember thinking, man, like, I've got to see some people saved. Like, it was just really bothering me. And I was just staying up all night reading books about how to start churches and meet people. I'm like, I got to see some people saved. And I was like, God, just, and I began to list all the unsaved people I know and said, God, give me some people to share the gospel to. God, I want to see people saved. I believe your word can, but man, God, please give me that open door. And God did. I'll do it right here for you. You want to see somebody saved? You want God to use your life? You can do it right here. Just say, God, give me an open door. God, give me somebody I can share the gospel with. And so I began to. And so the first person I ever one-on-one personally got to lead to the Lord on the mission field, and you had a part in this young man getting saved. His name was Axel. He came to church. We did Friend Day. Friend Day is a really big deal in South America. It's a much more relationship, I guess, based culture, right? Like Americans are very task-oriented. Here's my to-do list. And I have to do it in this order and be done by this time. And, you know, I was ahead of budget or I was under budget and over-delivered, whatever. That's an American way of thinking. It's not a South American way of thinking so much. And so Friend Day, relations are huge. So we did Friend Day. We passed out like 10,000 flyers. And this young guy named Axel shows up and I get his phone number and we start texting and talking. And we're texting and he says, Pastor, I have some questions. I want to talk to you. And South Americans, especially Peruvians, are very shy. Not like they won't talk to you, but they're very reserved at first. They're kind of hesitant to open up because for a lot of different reasons, they're kind of hesitant to open up. And so he's like, I don't want to tell you through texting. I want to talk to you. And so Sunday morning, he comes to church, and afterwards we go in a little side room. And keep in mind, I'm praying for what? An open door. To do what? Share the gospel, right? Paul's prayer is an open door to share the gospel. And so I say, okay, what can I help you with? And he says, what is the way to salvation? I mean, you can't get a more open door than that, you know? I said, how do I get saved, basically? And I shared the gospel with him about 25 minutes, and he's like, wow, this is great. I need to think about this. He didn't get saved that day, but the next week, I called him up. I said, hey, you're not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. Let's get together, and let's keep talking about this Bible thing. And we did. And sitting at a little coffee shop there on Calle Mercaderes, the main street downtown, He realized he could be saved. And he goes, so I could be saved right here? And I said, yeah, you could. He says, well, I want to be. And he bowed his head and prayed and received Christ. And it was really exciting to see that. And so I was like, man, this prayer really works. And so I kept praying and saying, God, give me some more people. Give me some more people. And in Latin America, culture is different. I mean, you can go from state to state here. You know, Florida and Maine are not nearly the same thing. Don't even try. Now you're moving from one country to another, or from one continent to another. It's different. And so a young person in South America, is anybody who's not married? It's not age, right? You got Hannah's brother got married almost 2 years ago. His wife was 19 years old. She is not a señorita anymore. She's an old señora because she's married. And you're married, you are old. And so youth group is really like unmarried people. So I've preached like 40-year-olds in youth group because they just never got married. You know, it's kind of weird. It's a little different, but we had youth group every Saturday night. And we said, okay, we're going to play some games. And we did. We played some games, and we showed it on Facebook, and we got a lot of visitors from it. But after we played some games, and we sing some songs, and then we preach. We have church. We preach through the book of Ephesians. We did sermon series. I mean, it's like church for single people. And so this guy, Rodrigo, he's probably early 20s. He gets in contact with me. He says, hey, I see what you're doing. It looks great. I want to be involved. And so I say, hey, man, we start Saturday, 7 p.m. On time, by the way, in South America is up to 30 minutes after something started. You know, planes leave on time. That's about it, you know? So I'm thinking this guy's going to show up at 7:30, 7:40. He shows up at 6:40. He shows up 20 minutes early. That's a big deal. I mean, did you show up for 20 minutes early? There was food. But had there not been food, I mean, so he shows up. I'm like, this guy's no joke. So I said, hey, do you know anything about church? He goes, no, I don't know anything about church or nothing, man. So I said, all right, well, I'm preaching, and I want you to listen for three things. You're a sinner. There's a punishment for your sin. And only Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sin. He goes, all right, I'll listen for it. So we preach. We have youth group, church, whatever you want to call it, preaching. And so great. So Monday night, we go out. So let's get together. I'll buy you dinner. And we'll talk about it. And so we're sitting there eating dinner. And he says, I mean, keep in mind, praying for what? Open doors to share the gospel. Two-parter. Open doors, share the gospel. And he looks at me and he says, hey, I don't know anything about God. Do you think you could teach me about God? Yeah. Yeah, I do. It's the whole reason I drove all around America for a while and moved to a different continent where everybody's this tall and dark-skinned, and I'm, well, this tall and dark-skinned and black hair, and I look different, and there's no clothes in this entire country that fit me, and socks and bow ties. I mean, that's you know, nothing. I mean, yeah, of course I can teach you about God. That's the whole reason I'm begging God to give me opportunities like this. And listen, he knew nothing. Everybody, like, in the States, you had an aunt or a nephew or a grandma, some family member who gave you a track, or you were at Cracker Barrel or something. I mean, you've had most likely some kind of contact with the gospel and Bible and Christianity, right? I don't want to hurt your hearts. Kentucky's not the Southeast. You border Ohio, which borders Canada, you're out. But in the Southeast, especially where I live, you could at least swim to Ohio. It doesn't border, but you could swim there through the lake. So, but in the Southeast, man, like, you can't close your eyes, and you can close your eyes and just walk into a Baptist church without even trying. And in his case, I had to say, now look, in the Bible is one book. It's kind of got two parts made of 66 different books. And big numbers are chapters, and little numbers are verses. I mean, that's how basic. So that first night, I said, okay, well, you don't know about God. You don't know about God. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we went through the Romans road, and he goes, man, I've never heard this before. I know people have this idea, Latin America's done, job is done. I've had missionaries in other countries in South America tell me, why are you going? Job's done. I talked to a pastor in a town in Maryland. I mean, I'm from Maryland, so I kind of know how it works. His town's like 5,000 people. And he says, I'm sorry, brother, we just couldn't support you going to that country because, you know, there's already enough churches and missionary there. I'm thinking, you are in a church of 5,000 people with four independent Baptist churches. So three of y'all need to resign and move, or you're a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, just, I'm sorry, because it might sound kind of mean, but nobody knows who Jesus is. They know the name Jesus, right? They're probably maybe named after him. One time a guy named Jesus and his wife Mary invited me to their son Gabriel's birthday party. And none of them are saved. No, I mean, they don't know the gospel. The only Jesus they know is a dead Jesus who isn't resurrected, or a baby Jesus. And dead people and babies are not powerful. But Mary, every time you see her, she's got big wings and a crown and halo. I mean, she looks incredible. Because that's who they're worshiping. They're not worshiping Jesus. They're not worshiping the same Jesus you and I are worshiping, or the Jesus of this Bible. And so he goes, I don't know anything. So that first week, he's like, man, I've never heard this. And so many people I've talked to, I've never heard the gospel. I mean, just simple Romans road stuff, which is like, you know, you know, your first words are, for God so loved the world, you know? They don't know it. And so the second week we get together, he's still coming. We go to Ephesians chapter 2. I say, man, you're dead in sin, and only Jesus can give you life. What are you going to do about that? He's like, man, I got a problem, though. He says, I want to be a millionaire. And I don't know what the Bible says about money. And it's kind of funny. It is kind of funny, but he's poor. His floor is either, it's this real cheap cement that they cover with like a red wax that gets on everything, or it's a dirt floor with like a painter's tarp over it. I mean, he's like, well, we have poverty in the States, and I understand, but we have like poverty inside the four walls of America. It's a whole bunch better poverty than you find overseas. I mean, really, we've been to churches where like, we ain't got no bathroom. There's a big dirt mound over there. I hope there's no stray dogs, for real. If they have electricity, it's like a light bulb on a string. So he's poor. He's unsaved and poor. Of course he wants to be rich, right? And so I said, okay, you opened up this can of worms, my man. So next week, we go to the Gospel of Luke. I said, you want to talk about money? Let's read about rich man and Lazarus. Rich man dies, he goes to hell. Lazarus, he dies, he goes to Abraham's bosom. He gets to be in paradise. I said, now what's the purpose of this story? He goes, I got you. Money isn't everything. Family is. I said, man, time out. Walk that back, because you missed it. Because the rich man wants two things. He wants a drop of water to cool his tongue, and he wants Lazarus to go back so that his family doesn't come to hell where he's at. He says, hell is so terrible. I don't want my family to be here. And somehow, God used that verse, and he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he goes, oh, so I need to get saved. I said, yes, you do. And it's very easy in Latin America to get people to pray a prayer. I'm not against leading people in prayer when it comes time to salvation, but you got to be really careful. I mean, they're ex-Catholics. They say a prayer every time they drive by a church. Literally, every single time they drive by a church, they cross themselves and say a prayer. So you got to be really, really, really careful. He didn't even give me a chance. On his own, he just starts praying and says, God, I need to talk to you. I need to get saved. And I love telling, that's my favorite story to tell, because to me, it is this verse come to life. God gave me a person who says, I don't know nothing about Jesus. Can you teach me about Jesus? And my Spanish, I mean, I think it's pretty middle of the road. I mean, it's not great. It's not bad. You know, it is what it is. But he didn't get saved because my Spanish is real good. Or because I can just roll my R's just right. And I just had that perfect accent. I knew all the right words. He got saved because the word of God did a work in his heart. He looked at the word of God and he was convinced, man, hell is real, and I'm going to go there unless I place my faith in Christ. That's my favorite story to tell because it's this verse. And you had a part in that. You had a part in that young man coming to faith in Christ because you gave to missions. You had a part in that man getting saved, both those young men getting saved, because you prayed for us. You prayed for God to bless us, and you prayed for God to give us opportunities. You prayed for God to help us. And that is spiritual fruit that abounds to your account. Well, shortly after they got saved, we did an English class. For whatever reason, people looked at me and they just figured out Spanish wasn't my first language. I have no clue how they knew, but they're like, you're not from here. I was like, oh, really? That's news to me. I didn't know. And so we're like, we'll start an English class. And we did English. I said, look, I'll teach English the best I know. It ain't great, but it's better than all of y'all, you know. And but by the way, we're a church. And the reason we're doing a free English class is because Jesus came to serve, not to be served, and we want to serve you. But we do have a church service, and we hope you visit, and here's an invitation. And, you know, I mean, we didn't even give them the bait and switch. It was, there's a hook in this bait, now eat it, you know. Here, fishy, fishy. And so we did this English class. We had over 120 people come through the English class at least once. We did a graduation service and said, hey, if you graduate, which means if you've just hung around through the 8 weeks of English class, come to church midweek service. We're having a special graduation service. They got dressed up. We had about 20-something visitors. They all got Bibles. We preached a gospel message, gave them a chance to get saved. And one of the young girls who came, and she was already saved by that point, her name was Angela. She's late teens, early 20s. She came to youth meeting. And I don't know if she'd ever been in church before. I don't really think she had. I was preaching, and especially the missionaries, like, we won't tell y'all. We were joking about it last night. Being an evangelist is great. You know, a missionary, you need like 3 sermons tops, and then you preach the same message everywhere. It's true, really. I'm spoilers. It's true. You find out which ones really work, right? Like, you find your really good messages, and you just preach them everywhere. This was not one of those messages. And I always do my best to preach the Bible, right? No one cares about my opinion, you know, least of all me. Preaching is about what did God say about the matter. And so I always do my best to preach the Bible. And I can't remember what I preached. I'm pretty sure it was Ephesians. I just preached and said, if you're here tonight, and I always give an invitation. Always, always give an invitation. Because you never know if they're coming back. You never know if you're going to see them again. I said, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you want to place your faith in Jesus, and she about took her sister's face off raising her hand. It went up so fast. I mean, God was doing something. So her and her sister, they both raised their hand. Another lady in the church named Sylvia, her and Hannah took them out. They talked to them, and they both got saved. First time they ever came to our church, they got saved. Praise the Lord. And what was it? It wasn't a great message. It wasn't, I just had like 3 alliterated points, man, the power of the presence, the pogo stick. I don't know. It was just the word of God did something. The Holy Spirit uses God's word. And that is the whole reason. I can tell you about a guy, his name's Ernesto. I mean, he got abused so bad by his dad that he has a really bad speech impediment. Recently divorced, single father, his kid lays at home, the little girl lays at home and cries and says, why does mommy hate us? And I gave him the gospel, and he said, man, my experience, my suffering has been too great to believe that Jesus is good. Guess what? Kept coming to church, kept doing discipleship, kept sharing the gospel. He got saved. Man, God's word works, and you had a part in all of that. Countries are different, man. We got people going to PNG. We got people going to India. We got people going to Chile and Bolivia, all over the world. The Philippines. I mean, guess what? Gospel's the same in every single country. There's a word for sinner in every language. There's a word for Jesus. There's a word for, I mean, it works. It's God's plan. And y'all had a part in that, not just in Peru, not just in Chile, in every single missionary that you support, in every single missionary that you pray for, you have a part in that. And I really tonight, I just want to say thank you. Because of you, because of your giving, because of your sacrifice, there are people that you've never met in this world. And you may not ever meet until eternity. We'll be in heaven because of your giving and your prayer. And I understand that it was, you know, there was the Holy Spirit. I get that. Okay, don't try to out-theological me. But you gave, and God used you. And you had a part in those people coming to Christ. And I just wanted to say tonight, thank you. And I ask you to pray for us. Pray for our support. Yeah. Pray for us to get to the field. Yes. And pray for opportunities to share the gospel. But this really does work here. I'll tell you this, and I promise I'll shut up. If I don't, Andrew says he'll give you my love offering so I can keep preaching. By faith. The other day, we live in a town of like 5,000 people. It's real big, you know. And Hannah's in the coffee shop, because of course she is, because she loves coffee. And she's got Isabella, and this lady just walked up to her, and she says, hey, do you have any friends? I just moved here from Spain, and I don't have any groups of friends to belong to. I got a group of friends called a church. You ought to come to that. That'd be a real good thing for you to come to. We're praying for God to give us opportunities. And this lady walks up, and she picks the only 5'9" white girl with blonde hair and blue eyes in Forsyth County who just happens to be fluent in Spanish. So they started talking. She's like, oh, you're from Spain. I lived in Peru. I speak Spanish. Or, do you really? Yes, I do. And got her contact information, been able to invite her to church. That was like, you know, right before everybody got coronavirus. And we live near Atlanta, so we've had a few cases. So we've kind of had to play her by ear. But, man, we're still working on trying to get her in church. There's no reason you couldn't pray and say, God, give me somebody to witness to. And you're like, well, I know it's coronavirus and we're all in quarantine. Hey, Paul says he's in bonds. Okay, he really is in jail. We're like, ooh, I'm on house arrest. He's literally chained to a soldier. He ain't going nowhere for a long time. And he's still going to get the gospel out. And it doesn't matter if it's America, South America, wherever. We got to get the word out. You heard it last night. Jesus is coming back. And after that point, that's it. I want to live my life doing everything that I can to get the gospel to the world while I have a chance. Man, one day we're going to stand before God. Why would you go to a hotel and spend a ton of money investing in building out a hotel room when you're building a house right down the road? Like, that's so dumb. But isn't that how we live our lives? This is just a house. This is a little hotel room that we live in for a few minutes. And one day we're going to go be in eternity. I know that you give. I know that you sacrifice. And I do. I try my best to, too. But man, I think we can do some more. So thank you for what you've done, but let's not get complacent. Let's still work to get the gospel out.